Next up, we have Eric. Eric will talk to us about the internet, and which I'm sure everybody will benefit that from that phrase. Okay, Eric, I'm turning over to you.
Okay. We're going to be talking about surfing for genealogy today, how not to wipe out in your quest for the perfect family tree. I'll warn you right now, if you're looking for lots of links and lots of places to go and where to find all the information, I'm not going to be talking about that. In fact, I'm going to kind of trick you a little bit into talking about a subject kind of behind the scenes of what you need to do and think about as you're looking at the internet and trying to use it for genealogy. And you'll find that, and I'll show you in a minute, that the internet is very similar to what you've already been doing. And so there are a couple of differences, but we'll go on into that. First, let's talk about how to surf. Very quickly, preparation, you get a surfboard. Learn surfing etiquette. Find a spot. You then maybe want to get some help from someone. Find someone who's been doing this before. Practice. Get comfortable in the water. Then get out there. Catch a wave. Set a target spot. And that means where you're going to be out there to catch your wave and to come in. Paddle out to that spot. Turn around. Paddle into the wave. Catch the wave, ride it, get ready to wipe out, and then enjoy the rush. Okay, so that's how to surf. How to surf the internet for genealogy. Preparation. Get a computer. Get internet service. Get computer working. Well, that's a big one. It doesn't come working out of the box, I'll tell you that. Find a family to research. Now, you probably have one lying around, but some people may need to find one. Training, get help. That is the easiest thing to do when you're starting out in genealogy, because there's a little different techniques. Explore wikis, help pages, and tutorials. Now, does everybody here know what a wiki is? Okay, a wiki is a page on the internet that is publicly editable. It's basically used for instructional purposes. So, you may have heard of Wikipedia. That's the best known example. Every page on Wikipedia is editable by everybody here. All you have to do is find the little spot on the page, click on it. You have to identify yourself to say who you are. And then you can go in and make any changes you want. You can say that somebody else other than Oswald shot Kennedy. You can actually do that. Actually, in that case, they do have that one locked, so that particular fact you can't change on the Wikipedia. But most wikis, you can do that. And there are wikis out there, and FamilySearch is one of the best ones. Learning genealogy. Then you want to get comfortable with your computer. If you can't surf the web, if you can't go on Facebook, you can't go out and look at web pages, then you're not ready to do genealogy. So get comfortable with that. Then you can start in with genealogy. Set your goals, what you want to do. You want to write a book? You want to print a big chart, put on your wall. You want to have a family get together and be the hero. What is it that you're working towards doing? Start gathering facts on your home person. Usually, that's you. And you're starting around with your immediate family, getting all the facts together. Vetting the facts. Now, that's going to be the key thing on the internet. Looking at each of these facts that you come up with and figuring out, are they accurate? document those facts. Believe me, with all the information out there on the internet, you're gonna forget some of it. That's why it's on the internet, so you can remember it on the internet. But you gotta write it down somewhere too, on your computer, on your notebook, wherever, so that you can remember what all you found at such and such a place. I can't tell you how many times I have heard people say, I'd show you that fact, but I don't remember where I saw it. So that's something really important. Move on to the next person, and then rinse, repeat. Do the same thing over again. Vet the facts, document the facts, move on to the next person, and do it again. Back up your data. I'll tell you that. If you're working on your own computer and not working on the web, make sure you back up your data. Your computer will crash at some point. Absolutely. You know, there's just no doubt about it. Computers are very sophisticated pieces of equipment, and they're designing them so that they last for the warranty period. Minimum. Okay, so that means that 1 minute after the warranty's up, it could fail. And in fact, the probability of it failing at that point in time actually gets a lot higher because of how they design hardware. It's that specific. So back up your data, and I put a note up there, why wait until now? You should have backed up earlier. Next thing, you're kind of done. Print your book, chart, show off to the family, and then enjoy the adoration. So very similar to surfing. So, it's that easy. Yeah, absolutely. Okay, first let's talk about what is the internet. The internet is a collection of web pages. What did we use for genealogy research before the internet? A collection of paper pages. See something going on here? How did we deal with that toppling stack of documents that was sitting on our desk after we went to the library and collected all this information? One by one. We examined them, determined what is fact, what is error, and what's the usefulness value of that page. Then, we copied or pasted those pages into our final document tree, whatever. And we didn't forget where we got it, because we always wrote on the back of it where it came from. So, dealing with internet pages, absolutely the same thing. One by one, examine them, determine what is fact, what is error, what's the usefulness value of that page. Then copy or paste the relevant facts into your final tree. And it's even more important to record where you got them from, because you don't have a back of the page unless you make it in your tree records. And you have to kind of add a source fact to get that information. Okay, the process is easy if you learn a few simple rules. And what I'm going to talk about is the genealogical proof standard. And that is, it's a collection of five rules that you apply to any genealogical problem that's out there. But most people say, what? The genealogical proof standard? Nah, not for me. I'm an amateur. I don't need that. But if you're not thinking about doing it right, then why think about doing it at all? That's kind of the way I look at it. Okay, the genealogical proof standard, when applied, and two web pages in genealogy, I'll admit that you're applying it very loosely. Otherwise, you'd never get anything done. It can get so complicated and so deep that you just kind of have to loosely just keep the ideas in mind as we go along. But it can be used to vet all the facts that you find on the internet. Okay, when you're finished, you'll know that your work is accurate. Well, as accurate as humans can be. Okay, genealogical proof standard, what is it? Five simple rules. A reasonably exhaustive search. So, yes, You can pounce on that thing that you see for the first time, but you got to think about where else can I look for this stuff? And what other things might I find? You know, you're on Ancestry, and I'll use that as an example a few times here. You find someone who's got a tree out there, and it looks just like your family. And so you say, great, I'll use that. And so you copy it in. And then later on, you find another tree, just like my family. Wait, this one's got a lot more information in it, and this has got a lot more dates, and this looks more reasonable. I didn't know he was 14. So you need to do a reasonably exhaustive search. You need to know that each fact has an accurate source. Oh, and let me stop for just a second, break your train of thought a little bit. All the presentations that were done will be available, audio version for download from the OGS website, and the presentations, if there was a handout or other materials, will also be available. So you can get those after the fact. The paper copies of this didn't make it here today, and so I apologize, I don't have a copy for you. Okay, each fact has an accurate source. Now, by accurate source on the web, you've got to consider that these pages and these facts and things are gathered by people. Now, some of the things out there are going to be images of records. And so you can know that you can kind of rely on those pretty much as well as the paper. But when you're looking at family trees, or you're looking at documented genealogy and things like that on the web, then you've got to consider the source. And we'll talk about that a little bit further. You need to know that the evidence is reliably and skillfully correlated and interpreted. In other words, did they, wherever you're getting this from, put together the facts, all of them, do the reasonably exhaustive search and make sure that their sources were accurate, and then put it together, interpret it in such a way, and come to a conclusion. Contradictory evidence needs to be dealt with and resolved. And then a conclusion is soundly reasoned and written. Okay. Now we're ready to serve. A few simple things to keep in mind as you're serving your genealogy. Number one, the internet doesn't have all the answers. And in fact, a lot of the answers aren't out on the internet yet. More than half of them. Because they're still on those pieces of paper. You still have to go visit the archives, and you still have to do a lot of other things out there. But the internet is gaining more every day. And the internet, because of places like Ancestry, now has available to you a lot of clues. And I look at Ancestry as a clue. If I see a tree out there, then that looks like that kind of matches. Okay, that's a clue. So I can start with that and see if I can match facts back to it. And that actually works extremely well. And then kind of the similar idea, some of the things on the internet are wrong. You know, and that's another thing that I hear a lot. There's that tree out there, and she keeps changing it so it's got the wrong blah, 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 and that happens a lot. Okay, the genealogical proof standard is kept in the back of your mind. Once you kind of memorize the steps, will help you to develop the skills of the master genealogy circle, and I guarantee that. Okay, where to start? Now, I point out here real quick. This is Huntington Beach, and that's one of the places that I grew up. So that's kind of a little bit of home back there. I did not grow up in Orangeburg. My parents are from here, and I moved back here. Although I did spend my summers when I was young here, the later summers were spent there at Huntington Beach. Okay. Intro to Internet Genealogy. Now here are a couple of links, and this is if you're really just kind of starting out on Internet Genealogy, or if you're just trying to hone things, and these will be available on the OGS website, so you can download them. Cindy's Soapbox. Now, does everybody know about Cindy's List? Okay, Cindy's List is probably the best collection of links out there. And as much as possible for a quarter of a million links, they are vetted. She's looked at them herself and said, okay, that looks like a useful thing, and the link works, and you can get to it. And she said in her article here a number of things that you should keep in mind. They're very similar to what I'm telling you today. The Family Search Wiki is a great place for basic information. Occasionally you'll find some of it targeted towards the LDS approach to genealogy, but that's really not so different than what we're doing, other than what you do with the resulting data. Evidence or proof, how to apply the genealogical proof standard to your tree. There's a good article here on about.com, very short, but it is to the point. Genealogy.about.com is written by a lot of well-known genealogists. Now, about.com is another one of these contribute sites where anybody can contribute to it. This particular article is written by Kimberly Powell, and that name you might recognize. It's one of the leading professional genealogists in the country. Okay, now, just about everybody here has probably said that piece of data that somebody else did is wrong. Okay, well, let's practice what we preach. Develop good habits. Make sure our data is correct and complete as possible with the sources. Don't use cryptic abbreviations. One of the things that we run into in the archives is older manuscripts where people have typed things out. And of course, if you're working on a manual typewriter, there was some economy of abbreviations. But some of those abbreviations, we have a difficult time working with what did they mean here. And sometimes it becomes very, very difficult. Display all your data. Don't keep that file underneath your desk. Put it in the data that you're showing to other people. Don't assume that they'll know that. Enter and link your sources. Yes, it's painful, but after that hiatus, when you weren't doing genealogy, you'll kiss yourself for doing so, because you won't remember all of those places that you got the data. You won't remember all those conclusions that you came to. And the thinking, besides the usual reasons that you need to. Okay, how are we doing on time? Probably not well. Well, actually good. Okay, let's talk about a reasonably exhaustive search, because we're getting down to the end. And these are just basically some hints that I put together on how to use the genealogical proof standard. Have I looked at all the data in front of me? And a big hint, scroll down on the page. I find that, especially now with the way Ancestry has changed things, when you're looking at a tree and trying to match a tree into your information, that it will put one set of children here, and then down lower, there'll be another set of children. Now, where did that other set of children come from? Well, that's from that wrong data that you didn't uncheck the box on. And so scroll down, look at everything. Now, that is an example from Ancestry, but it goes with everything. Look at the bottom of the page. Make sure that you're seeing everything. Does the data in front of me match what I already know? And I mean, all of this stuff is review. Everybody here kind of knows these things, but keep them in mind with the five simple rules of the genealogical proof standard, and the practice of that will get you thinking, and it won't be difficult to deal with the internet. has the data in front of me been entered carefully? That's a big thing for me. I look at the data that was presented to me as fact, and I say, well, did they take the time to put all the dates in? Did they take the time to spell all the names out? Did they take the time to capitalize properly? And if they did, then they probably took enough time to research it, or at least it's a little better chance of that. Okay, what's the source of the data? There's a couple of people that I watch on Ancestry because I know that their trees are fairly accurate, and ours intertwine a lot. So I know those people I can usually rely on the data from. The record that you're looking at, if it's a record, is it reliable? Death certificates, okay, are 75% reliable. But again, as Brent mentioned, all of the data that's entered below a certain point on a death certificate is entered by relatives under stress. So you have wrong mothers coming up, like you said. Documents. What is the document that you're looking at? Is it something that someone has just written and put together? And, you know, I've come across a few things out there on the web that it's a page and it's a whole history of the Sistrunk family. And it looks really good. But then you start reading it and, whoa, wait a minute. How did they know that? How did they know this? They've got stories about people going to the well and dropping things in and coming back. And all of a sudden you realize this isn't the genealogy story. This is something somebody has made up to go into their family history. And you can run across those and be tricked fairly easily. Is there something that I haven't looked at and checked first? Okay, don't take that first little bit of information. Go out there and keep checking. Okay, accurate source citations. Just figuring out exactly who the source is often brings up red flags. If you find that conversely, there's a couple people out on Ancestry that I know don't check the data. So the minute I look at something from that person, then I'm going to say, oh, red flag here. If the source is like a story, like I just mentioned, that's also a red flag that you want to check that. If any kind of published genealogy that's on the web, that's a web page that you're looking at rather than a document or a scanned copy of a book, is also subject to checking because that's subject to error and subject to changing all the time too. Now that you know the source, look at the product of the source and you can better gauge the quality. That's kind of what I just said. Sources also mean that you can recreate this later when your computer crashes. And like I said, your computer will crash at some point. Backup. Make sure that you included all the steps so you can find the data again. If there's multiple things that you have to go through, make sure you've noted those. And one of the things that you find is the internet changes daily. You can report a source on, like the South Carolina website for the digital image of such and such. And if you don't record it completely or correctly, you may not be able to get back to it because on January 1, they're putting in their new Web 2.0 upgrade for their software, and everything is different now. Now, some places are doing what's called permalinks. So if you ever see permalink out there, use those permalinks because they will be a permanent link to that web page. Barring economic crisis, world war, and other things that are beyond the control of the organization, that permalink will be good forever. Okay, little note down there, you can read if you want. Reliable, skillful correlation interpretation. Say it out loud. That's one way that I do it. Jacob Ott married Mary buried AJ. Now, wait a minute. I got something wrong here. Okay. And that is the case. Tell your spouse. You know, I just found this great data, and it says he was married in such and such, and they say, but that makes him 8 years old. So, it helps. Quality of the evidence. Does the Boy Scout News qualify as a reliable primary source? You know, and where it says, Davy had a new brother born this last Tuesday, and his name is Tom, and he's doing fine. That may have been in the Boy Scout newsletter, but is that then a source that you should use in genealogy? Might be a good clue to looking for the data elsewhere. Ancestry. Now, here's something that I might want to point out. Is the source of the data a historical document? Or is it just a compiled list of marriages in a certain place? Now, if you look at Ancestry, they have a compiled list of marriages in South Carolina. Now, it is primarily from an accepted list that has been passed down over many, many years. It was developed on Ruth's Web a long time ago. But in most cases, the source is totally lost from the reference now. And the list has been transcribed so many times that there very well can be mistakes in it. So you have to kind of realize that if that's the only thing that you're relying on, you may want to look further to find the source of that particular thing. Now, on Ancestry, it's a little hard to find. And you have to go and look at the details on a particular data set, and then it will describe how that data set was put together. Then there is a place you can go to get even more information on that. So there are things on Ancestry like that that are just compiled lists. And so, in other words, somebody found a list in their attic, this looks really great, and let's publish it on Ancestry, and there's some stuff like that. Resolution of conflicting facts. Don't worry so much that someone else has it wrong. Okay, let them worry about that. But just worry that you have it right and explain. Censuses. If the only point of contention aren't worth fighting for. I've seen people worry about. Now, most of the people in here know that the enumerators sometimes went out on the road for an entire day and then dropped their notebook in the mud on the way home. And so everything was kind of drippy and runny, and they had to remember whole families. There is one of the censuses that I found, there's three families in Bowman, the children are mixed up. They have the right names, and they have the right ages, all mixed up between these three families, and the three families apparently live right next to each other. Okay, if you have consistent variations, don't discount the possibility of dual personality syndrome. And that means there may be two people involved here. There are two Jacob Otts in the same area at the same time in the early 1800s. And that was something that it took a number of people a long time to figure out, and some of them I fell into that trap not too long ago. Okay, your conclusion, as you're putting it into your data, again, don't use odd abbreviations. Spell everything out. Explain the source of your evidence if it's not from primary documents. Especially where your conclusions vary from others, explain why. And that's important. You know, I mentioned people complaining about, well, she's got it such and such a way, he did this, and you know. Make your tree correct. And make your explanation there so that you say, other people have this information. I've done it this way because of this, this, and this. And then that way, chances are, people will start copying you because they'll realize that they're wrong. The cost of typing extra words is small compared to defending and explaining it many, many times later.
Okay, that's it.
It's time for lunch. Go forth and serve the project.
Oh, bravo.